I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio for December the 5th. Here we are. The run-up to Christmas is going to be swift, but I'm sure that spirits, food, wine, cider, beer may be part of your Christmas celebration. We have turned the corner in terms of Tasting Room Radio, heading into our 14th year, and we have three new sponsors. Hillside Winery, Kathy Malone is the winemaker. She will be our first guest. Moon Cursor in Osoyoos, Beta and Chris Tolley are the leaders there. Enrico, Mill Bay, the Cowichan Valley. Lauren Inglis is the manager and the voice and face of Enrico. And we welcome back the Hatch and All Who Sailor, Black Swift, Truck 59, Crown and Thieves, Screaming Frenzy, and much more. And we welcome back and Jason Parks, the winemaker and team leader, and Devil and Barker, who has no idea what he's gotten himself into. This is Tasting Room Radio, heading for 2021 and whatever it brings. Enjoy. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery, Naramata grown and raised. Unique, small lot, and terroir driven are terms best used to describe their wines. Led by veteran winemaker Kathy Malone. Just a heads up for December, a seated sensory tasting experience is available until December the 20th. Seasonal Saturdays at the Bistro every Saturday until December the 19th. There's a holiday gift guide and no limit complimentary shipping until December the 20th. All the details and hours of operation at hillsidewinery.ca. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. We are welcoming our new sponsors for our 2020-2021 series of shows. In our 14th year, I believe, we started our life on the Naramata Bench, and that's exactly where we're going to start these four interviews with Kathy Malone at Hillside Winery, a state winery on the Naramata Bench. All local fruit, by the way. They say that right off the front. They say, this is local fruit you're drinking. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Terry. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thank you. And you, are you safe up there?
Yes, we're really working on staying safe.
It's a full-time it's a full-time job, isn't it?
It is. Yes, yeah, exhausting actually. But you know, we identified it early on as paramount importance to our business, and when we got close to harvest, I realized that we could not have anyone become ill, because we would have to shut down, and there's grapes to pick and wine to make. So we've taken the ultimate precautions. We did the whole harvest in face shields, and you know, and now it's, you know, 100% masked, and we keep our distance. We have to yell at each other a lot.
Well, and it also applies to we, the consumer. I mean, your whole tasting process has changed, and in the bistro as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our bistro manager and wine shop manager spent sort of the lockdown period working out our COVID protocol, and I think that it's been used as an example with WorkSafe BC. It's a 47-page protocol, and the staff has been so dedicated to maintaining it. So the bistro itself is super safe. Like, we're way spread out. We're at very, very low capacity. We only have the one, right now we only have the inside open, and we're only serving dinner. And the wine shop, we did a renovation during the winter and created a pass-through window, just
nice.
Coincidentally,
nice.
Right? And we also have a private tasting room for VIP customers. So we were able to set up in the summer. I think we had five stations, because we were outside as well for tastings to keep people well and truly apart. And no one's actually allowed in the shop. There's no, you know, mingling and picking off the shelves. When you purchase, you order from the window.
While I have you just right there, I just want to let people know that you're doing seasonal Saturdays at the Bistro each Saturday, like today, December 5, next Saturday, the 12th, and the following Saturday, December the 19th. You're offering a four-course seasonal fixed-price menu with wines paired, of course, with it. So it's a Saturday thing, like from 5 to 7:30.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like a winemaker's dinner. I won't be there, but, you know, it's a paired menu, so it's quite cool.
We're talking about Hillside Wines on the Naramata Bench. I think I should get on to the business at hand, and that is the new and noteworthy, the brand refresh, the Hillside Series, the Heritage Series, and the Single Vineyard Small Lots Series. If we can take them one at a time, I'm going to rush you through these because I have a couple other really cool questions for you. So the Hillside Series.
So, you know, this is sort of our bread and butter series. It's, you know, we have our Anoche Pinot Gris in that series and our just our Hillside Merlots, kind of your everyday table wines. We've always really, in our minds, had these three tiers of wines, but with our rebranding, the labels now very distinctly show it. So, the Hillside Series is a pretty, you know, white label with a gray bottom with a building on a hillside, and the building's in gold. And so I think that reflects what's in the bottle.
It does, in fact. Is the Gamay part of the Heritage Series?
Yes, it is. So the Heritage Series is wines that are, you know, special for some reason, either the vineyard, the age of the vineyard, the treatment of the wine. We have a Heritage Series Pinot Gris that's has partially fermented in oak barrels, lots of leaf stirring, and so, you know, they're just you know, a bit above, and I think that, you know, you can taste that special character, whatever it is, in
sure.
the wine.
Kathy Malone, the chief winemaker at Hillside on the Naramata Bench, and Kathy, we don't have time for answers, only questions. The 2019, the Muscat Autonel, was your first white. Does it qualify as heritage, or is it just on its
own? We put that in the Heritage Series.
Oh, nice.
Our
okay.
founder, Vera, planted that in 1984, so
okay.
We think it's a pretty special block.
The Single Vineyard Small Lot Series, how many are there and what are they?
So right now we've got three different Merlot blocks, two below the road and one above the road, and I've got sort of a fourth in the running. And we also have our Cabernet Sauvignon Howe Vineyard in that series, and that's a block of Cab Sauv that's just to the north of us, and is shockingly good. You know, before my time here, I never would have thought that we could grow and ripen well Cabernet Sauvignon on the Naramata Bench, but I'm telling you, we can.
Wow. That's fantastic, because it was always going to be a South Okanagan, right up against the border kind of thing, right?
Yeah, that was sort of the prevailing thought, and so, you know, it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. No one planted the later ripening varieties north of, say, OK Falls, right? And however, legend has it that Vera planted one row of Cab Sauv because the agricultural pundits told her she shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that row is still at the far end of our vineyard here. That's not where the wine comes from. It comes from the sort of the next block to the north. But I think that it really reflects her spirit, you know.
Okay, we're talking Hillside now. Seasonal holiday gift guides. You have a means that people who are hunkered down and not going anywhere, how they can gift through Hillside. You want to tell them about it?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, it's on the website, and it's a catalog that you can click through and see all kinds of gift ideas
until December the 20th, friends. There is a time limit on this.
And for shipping, I would say as soon as possible. Our delivery company is saying the 16th. I think perhaps Alberta it's a bit sooner.
Okay.
And so they are very, very busy because people are panicking about being out of wine at Christmas, and I don't blame them.
And there's also, check out the top three wish list worthy wine gifts, the 2018 Kerner Ice Wine, the Single Varietal Series 3-bottle gift set, and the Wine Club exclusive sneak peek gift set. Listen to me, I'm sounding like I'm a carnival barker here. There are so many
on the top shelf.
So many choices to choose from.
I know.
Tasting room hours.
The ice wine has just been released.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'll be the first among your friends to have our 2018 ice wine.
Very nice. Tasting room hours, Wednesday to Sunday, 12 to 5. Bistro hours, Thursday to Sunday, 5 to 7:30. We've got all of that. Now, hold on just a second. There was a couple. Oh, I am astonished at your rosé. It's like a field blend. It's a...
Yeah.
The 2019 rosé. Check this out. I started to write this and I ran out of ink. Merlot and Cab Franc and Syrah with just a hint of Malbec, Pinot Noir, and Gamay. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 wines in a bottle of rosé.
I know, it sounds like a masterful blend, doesn't it?
It does.
it's basically, we have a block of Merlot that's slated for rosé, that's the basis of that wine. And then we do a saigné or a bleed on many of the other red varieties, depending on how they look at harvest. The juice that we bleed off, we put into the rosé. So it really gives that rosé life, I think.
I have two more to ask you about, and I'll let you go. The 2018 Founders Block Gamay. First of all, I'm thrilled that there's Gamay available. 9 months in barrel. Is that old oak?
No, there's a little bit of new oak, and we use all French oak with the exception of some Hungarian oak that we used for our heritage Pinot Gris.
Okay.
And I like to use the older, like the sort of third and fourth fill barrels of that group for Gamay.
But I love the fact that it's the Founders Block, and I love the fact that it's Gamay. I love that. The other one is the 2017 One Sky Merlot Cab. It's part of your giving edition where you're $8 from each bottle go to a charity or a foundation of your choice. And I love to see that it's sold out.
Yeah, we did that for the first time last year, and people responded really quickly. One Sky is a local charitable organization that we've earmarked as our charity of choice because it's very all-encompassing and very effective. You know, it's a group of super dedicated people, and most of the money goes to the community. And so, you know, we're really, really supportive of that particular charity.
I'm interested about us and the wine business in 2021. Will it recover?
Yeah.
Will it recover? Will we see people? Will it have some sort of return to, well, not normalcy, but getting there?
You know, it shocked me how much traffic we had in the summer. It was very controlled. It's 100% reservation only, and you know, we saw just a fraction of people that we were seeing in previous years, but those people were so engaged. And, you know, they have a 45-minute tasting, and a large percentage join the wine club, and I think they'll be fans for life. And so going forward, I kind of would like to retain that model in terms of, you know, our business at the winery. And then, of course, you know, we're all hoping that restaurants are able to survive and bounce back because you know, we all like going out.
we do I'm getting used to eating in as well. Kathy, thank you for this. Have yourself a great run up to Christmas.
Thanks, you too.
And we'll look forward to talking about you for the year. Thank you for being one of our sponsors, and I love the fact that it's you and the fact that this show, Tasting Room Radio, started 14 years ago on the Naramata bench in a barn And it's very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I just want to physically get up there and see you as well.
I know. Soon.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Okay. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Kathy Malone, Hillside Winery, Naramata Bench. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery. Naramata grown and raised. Unique, small lot, and terroir driven are terms best used to describe their wines. Led by veteran winemaker Kathy Malone. Just a heads up for December, a seated sensory tasting experience is available until December the 20th. Seasonal Saturdays at the Bistro every Saturday until December the 19th. There's a holiday gift guide and no limit complimentary shipping until December the 20th. All the details and hours of operation at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. The Hatch is comprised of Gobsmacked, The Hobo Series, Screaming Frenzy, the wines from Black Swift Vineyards, Crown and Thieves, and many more, believe it or not. Here's the bottom line. The Hatch is home to BC's most diverse array of amazing wines. And Truck 59, The Cider House. You get 7 different wine options from the Jason Parks Custom Wine Club. Open every wonderful day from 11 to 6. And if you really want to get the story right, sign up for the newsletter. All the details at thehatchwines.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. And this is the Hi, Welcome, Neighbor episode of this particular show, December 5, because we've turned a corner. We have 3 new segment sponsors for Tasting Room Radio. And we always told ourselves when we started this show 12 and a half, 13 years ago in a barn on the Naramata Bench that if we were going to talk about somebody, they were going to be a sponsor of the show, and we were going to talk about them for a year, we had better like who they are. We'd better admire their business. If we don't know them, we better admire their business. Because it would be painful to have to talk about somebody that you have never met or wines that you didn't like. And so Jason Parks, he is the man behind The Hatch, and he has a guest with him, Devlin Barker. And he's in the truck. Jason, it's imperative that not only the audience know this, it's really important that I know the structure of The Hatch, who want to know more about what The Hatch is. What the hell is it? Was it a concept that became, then it just sort of spilled over from there?
The original plan was to build something much more egotistical and big. We ran into some complications because of doing road improvements, which added a lot of money to the plan. So as a temporary fix, I thought it might be a good idea to renovate a couple sheds. So myself and the team that was there at the time, we renovated these sheds and put some old stuff in there and went up to a neighbor who had his own little personal shed full of old shovels and old things. And we made him a deal over a drink of whiskey, and we stamped it on the wall, and we called it The Hatch. But the Hatch does have a more thought out concept than that. It's more of a, I guess I like to use the word, an incubator for
sure
ideas, brands, and things to come out of and go to other places.
So under The Hatch, we find Gobsmacked, we find the Hobo Series. Anything else?
Gobsmacked, The Hatch has its own thing, some brands, and there's the Hobo line as well.
Sure.
Those are the ones, and there'll be new ones coming. Right?
Okay.
We're forever evolving.
So the construction, the painful construction in the photos that we've seen over the last half year, bits and pieces of dirt, and then building, and then cranes, and then you were constructing something called the Black Swift Vineyards.
We got 2 builds on the go. We got the Black Swift location, which is done, where our production is, but we also got Crown and Thieves, which looks like an old ruin. And that one's going to be finished in about 2 weeks, I hope.
That's what everyone does. What do you want that meant to be? What do you want it to represent?
Crown and Thieves?
Yeah.
I don't know to say what it represents completely. I do want it to be a place where people go, and I don't want to put the wine second because this is all for the love of wine. But I want people, when they walk into that place, to maybe leave their minds for a little while and look at things differently, because we've kind of gone against all of the norm of what people are doing here. At least we're trying to. And I'm not saying it's going to be a success, but the goal is to be different and to get people to look at things a little bit different.
Well, how different will this experience be at Crown of Thieves?
immensely different. There's a speakeasy in the basement for a band. There's a rooftop patio. That doesn't sound that different. But when you go in there and you look at the ceiling and there's an angel kicking a demon in the face and there's 100-year-old lights hanging everywhere and bear rugs hanging from the ceiling, it's just different. It's just a different thing.
And has Truck 59, the cider house, has it found a location?
Yeah, it's right. Exactly. When you go to Crown and Thieves, you'll actually park in the orchard of Truck 59. It's connected.
While I have you, I tried the Screaming Frenzy Sauv Blanc. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Cool. Loved it. I tried the Pinot Blanc, the Black Swift Vineyards Pinot Blanc. Yep. Why is it in a dark?
What do you think of that?
Why is it in a dark bottle? First of all, why? Why did you do that?
Why not? Doesn't have a capsule either. And we've also put it in oak, Terry. Like,
I know you did. I know you did. There's only two people that I know of in the Okanagan. There may be more. There's only two. You and Anthony Buchanan have oaked your Pinot Blanc. And I love that.
Yeah, a little bit of mallow on there. Just a little bit. Just playing around, you know.
I hold in my hand an empty bottle of Black Swift Vineyards, The Long Road, 2014 Syrah.
Nice.
It opened up my head and my heart.
Did you get yet the Pinecrest shards? Have we got you those yet?
Your people have not, no.
We came along some old vintages that were sitting. We have a place we call the tunnel at one of our locations, undisclosed, where we keep just older vintages to let them lie down. And we found a 14 and a 15 Chardonnay from this vineyard called Pinecrest.
Wow.
Which that fella has recently passed away. It's just a vineyard in West Kelowna at the end of a cul-de-sac. And I forgot we made them. And we opened them up last week, and it got me a little emotional, reminding me why I'm building stupid buildings and stuff like that. It's all about making these special wines and finding homes to present them out of.
Well,
I have to get you those.
Well, here's to him. Who's to that grower?
For sure.
I tried the Riesling. I loved the Riesling. The Riesling. Where did you get it?
Kirkagen Riesling. So there's a grower down Lakeshore. When we first get that stuff in, it is zippy, acid, electric, explosive, but we let it lie down for a little bit, let it rest, and we actually let it sit on the lees for a little bit, which not everybody does with Riesling. But yeah, we've been having fun watching those evolve.
We have in the truck Jason Parks, the winemaker and the leader of the hatch, and Devlin Barker, who's going to step up now. He is the conductor of the JPCWC, but it's the Jason Parks Custom Wine Club, okay? It's a big deal. Pretty fancy, actually, when you think about it. Devlin, how did you come by this? First of all, did people, when you applied, did people warn you off applying at the hatch? Did they?
they did, actually. I'm not going to lie. There was maybe a few that offered some warnings, but I knew it would be a good fit for me.
How many wine clubs are there total?
There's seven. So yeah, the hatch has two. And then when we were expanding to think about Black Swift, you know, there's an interesting yin and yang between the two brands that are there, the Black Swift single vineyard series, and then the Frenzy wines, which are a bit more fun and vibrant. And so those two clubs there, the Frenzy Club is kind of your fridge stalker, we're calling it. It's a little bit higher frequency. We send some wine out every 2 months, and it's just six bottles, so that's just to keep your fridge stocked and have some fun and not necessarily offload a ton of money each time. And then the Swift wines really deserve something different. That's twice a year. It's 12 bottles. There's going to be a mix of vintages throughout each pack, and you know, some of that stuff you might want to lay down and leave for a few years.
You don't want to guzzle that stuff. You want to just give it a chance, right? How about the club?
Yeah, you do. You want to guzzle that stuff.
Jason, here's the thing. I was just thinking about your setup, your entire empire there. Everybody comes in the door for a different reason. Some people fall in love with Gobsmack or the Hoba series or Screaming Frenzy or something. They try a Black Swift, or they find a Crown and Thieves that just absolutely blows their mind. So they come to you probably not knowing everything else that's inside the room. It's like a surprise. So if you just stick around and go, well, if you like that bottle of wine, why don't you try those guys over in that corner? It's really an amazing setup.
That was the goal, and it's just to provide different things and do things differently. like somebody asked me the other day how much wine I figured would sell out of Blacksmith before we opened it, and out of Crown. We don't look at that on a piece of paper. We just look at what kind of experience we can give people and what kind of options we can give people and how exciting is it going to be for them when they walk in the door. That's why as a company, our big platform is not going to be as much, you know, as much as we respect that way of doing things, of being in stores. We're all about our locations, our wine club, and just kind of building, hopefully, a cult following that believes in what we're doing. And we don't want to keep growing how much wine we're making. We just want to get better at making
okay.
more wine.
And you touched on something, and that's my last question, basically, and that is, I can't possibly go down the portfolio of each of these brands and try to give them their credit and their due.
Right.
Basically, what this is another situation where you either believe in the winemaker and the winery, or you don't. You either trust yeah. the fact that whatever they're going to present to you is going to be fantastic, or you don't.
Yeah. Or hopefully, as much as it's fantastic, it's interesting. That's what we push to do more than anything. It's never to make that award-winning wine. It's to do things the best we can and try to be interesting.
You know, the ironic thing is, you're in West Bank. Let's face it, you're in West Bank. And
yeah.
And can you see Mission Hill from where you are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, big time.
Okay.
Yep.
So the deal is, you ain't them, and they are definitely not you. But I think that the BC wine business, and specifically the Okanagan, the North Okanagan, is well served by the fact that they're up there and you're over here, and you're both doing what you do.
Yeah, both different things. I have a lot of respect for Mission Hill. I don't know if they respect us. They've done a lot for the industry. But I also have a potato gun pointed at them, so it's a love thing, love hate thing, isn't it?
Okay, here's the deal. Am I seeing new artwork, by the way?
Yeah, that's forever happening. We got a couple more labels coming out pretty quick. We're supposed to make a label together.
Who's the guy? Who's the guy with the beard as a nest? I just saw that. Paul Morstad.
So
yeah.
What it is he's a good pal, and we're both turning 50 this year. So he had the idea of doing a bottle with both of our mugs on it with our beards. So mine's getting made. Mine has moths coming out of my beard. So you'll see that picture in a couple weeks. So both our beards will be on a bottle, and it's a good way for us to promote Paul as an artist and talk about him on the back of the bottle. Unfortunately, my face has got to be on there too.
That's all right.
Paul Morstad.
Paul has released several new pieces for display as part of the latest exhibit at Gallery Jones in Vancouver. So
okay.
I just want people to
yeah.
know that. Okay. Devlin, what's the website?
Which one?
If they go to the Hatch, do they get all that information, or do they have to go to several, maybe put them all together?
The beauty of how our things are structured right now is you can find it from anywhere. If you're at the Hatch, if you're at Blackswift, if you're at Truck 59, you can access our wine club information. And I would be sad if I didn't pass on the info that the coolest thing I think about our wine club is all of our benefits that, you know, apply at the Hatch apply everywhere else as well. So things like free shipping and 15% discount. They apply at all of our locations and all of our future locations too. So even at our brewery coming next year.
You're supposed to say something about the discount on the Proper Man album.
Oh, I'm Proper Man. Always Proper Man.
That's all we do this for, is Proper Man.
Did it come out on vinyl?
Not yet.
Is the smoke truck still there?
Yeah, it's at the Hatch. Yeah.
Cool.
And we're doing some stuff with pairing, you know, stuff out of the food truck with wine flights at the locations. You pay a fee, you come in, and you get some charcuterie stuff and some smoked meat, and you can pair it with Pinot Noir.
If somebody in the audience has heard this hard-hitting, incisive interview, and they think, hey, I'd like to give a gift certificate to my uncle, do you have such a thing?
We sure do. We've got gift cards available online or in person as well.
You've thought of everything.
We're trying.
He's not just good-looking.
Except the Jason Parks Custom Wine Club. First of all, it's too long. Sort of. If you could make it just a little sort of catchier,
I told him it's a terrible name. I told him it was terrible.
It's the JPC Fan Club. That's what it is.
It is the JPC Fan Club. You're absolutely right. Thank you for doing this, gentlemen. I suggest that you go through a drive-thru and have yourself a burger.
That's what the smoke truck is for. We're going to go get
you lucky buggers. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Let's move forward in 2021 and hope it isn't 2020. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. The Hatch is comprised of Gobsmacked, The Hobo Series, Screaming Frenzy, the wines from Black Swift Vineyards, Crown and Thieves, and many more, believe it or not. Here's the bottom line. The Hatch is home to BC's most diverse array of amazing wines. And Truck 59, the Cider House. You get 7 different wine options from the Jason Parks Custom Wine Club. Open every wonderful day from 11 to 6. And if you really want to get the story right, sign up for the newsletter. All the details at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. The Moon Cursor name pays tribute to the gold smuggling history of Osoyoos. The winery's focus has always been making premium wines from old world grape varieties like Tanat, Dolcetto, and Torrija Nacional. And for all of that hard work and dedication, Moon Cursor was recognized as the number one best performing small winery at the 2019 Wine Align National Wine Awards of Canada. Not only do they have a great wine club, but also think about giving a wine club membership as a great Christmas gift. You can find all of the details at mooncursor.com. My name is Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio, and this show is all about welcoming our sponsors for the year 2021. I know we're leading up to Christmas, but we start in December, as so we should. And one of those wineries, one of those businesses that we are going to be telling you about for the next year, and actually they'll be telling you as well, is Moon Cursor. It's literally, it is not the last winery in British Columbia, but very close. It's very close to the border. Chris and Beta Tully have been great friends of mine, and I absolutely love their wines, and I admire them. And when we talk about the wines, you'll understand what we're saying. So, guys, first of all, are you safe? Are you well? Are you okay?
Yeah, we're huddled up here in Penticton.
Doing quite safely.
Yeah,
thank you.
The tasting room is closed for the winter?
The tasting room is now closed for the winter for a couple of reasons. The first, we decided to play it really, really safe with the recent COVID surge. So that was a big motivation for us. And also, we have had a really, really busy summer this year. And as a result, we don't really have that much wine necessarily for sale at the tasting room. There's still wine available in liquor stores and restaurants. But because of those two reasons, it just made sense to close the gates for the time being, although curbside pickup is still available.
I was wondering, you're still sending out wines, are you not?
Yes, we are. And in fact, we don't have all the wines left in stock at this point, mostly because of the busy summer that we've just had. But several of our favorites are still available, such as Torrija Nacional and our flagship wine, Dead of Night. We have had several orders for Christmas gift giving and a few Christmas promotions that have just ended. So, if there's anybody out there listening interested in buying Moon Cursor wine, please do give us a call.
Hey, Chris, you're the winemaker, and I'm wondering, was there a time when you first started where you were trying to get people's attention about what you were doing, what you were growing, and what you were bottling? And how long did it take them to all of a sudden go, wait a minute, these guys are really different. They're doing something different. We should pay attention to this. How long did that take?
That took quite a number of years. I think we got buy-in immediately from our consumers, but it was a very small segment of the consumer base. Even our agent, it sort of gave us the eye roll when, we came out with Arnaise or something, because, he realized it's going to have to be explained to people. And initially, people were just more interested in the wine business, providing the usual suspects. And then sort of around 2012 or 13, people became, if I can say, vino curious about different wines. And, they'd sort of already accepted the baseline from the Okanagan Valley, providing, Merlot, Pinot Gris, and then they were, pushing forward. So lately, it's been quite the opposite of when we started in 2004. People are, what's new and interesting? They're sort of asking.
Very nice. All right, we'll explain that in just a moment, audience. It helps, of course, that you kept winning awards, including the last one being recognized as the number one best performing small winery in Canada at the 2019 Wine Align National Wine Awards. That was, I literally jumped up and down when I read that.
Thank you. We were all three of us, I guess, were doing that at the same time,
What effect has that had, Bita, on sales, on recognition?
Oh, the impact was quite immediate and quite significant, and you know, no wonder. I mean, that is the premier national wine competition in this country, and so of course, with, you know, many people watch the results. And we were just beyond delighted when that happened. Super happy. Huge kudos to, you know, our wine growing and winemaking team on account of that award. And it basically, what that award has done for us is has basically put us on many wine consumers' radars, so to speak. I think there is a real interest out there amongst our fabulous wine drinking Canadian friends and, you know, exploring new things and interesting things. And that's what we strive to provide with the grape varieties that we grow. And I think many people heard about our win, read about the wines who have placed really high in the competition and said to themselves, hey, that sounds really interesting. Let's go check that out.
Exactly. Yeah. Beta and Chris Tully at Moon Cursor in Osoyoos, the Osoyoos Bench. Not the last winery, again, in the Okanagan. I believe it's Lariana. It's close, literally right on the border, but very close. So just so you can set that in your mind, because you know it's hot. There's some heat units going on there. Chris, I think Beta, in her note to me, said, are we going to tick people off if we talk about wines that we don't have? So, and I kind of took that into consideration. Let's talk about what you do have and what the audience can access. Is the Arnaise still around?
The Arnaise is, unfortunately, the Arnaise is not still around. We've sold out of quite a few things.
Are all the whites gone? No,
the whites are gone. Bita, is there any bubbly left? I believe even the bubbly is gone. So the Moonlit Frizzante.
Okay, I'll give you the names, audience. Arnaise 2019, Moonlit Frizzante 2019, the Viognier 2019, and the glorious Roussanne Marsanne 2019. Absolutely fantastic. So, Chris, he said, knowing maybe the answer, how many reds are available these days?
I believe there's 4 reds available these days out of our portfolio, which is rather large considering the size of our winery. We do a number of different wines. The Dead of Night, Malbec, just a little bit left of Malbec, Petit Verdot, and Tarique Nacional.
Fantastic. All right, the Dead of Night. I can't reach it. I have the 2017 that I was trying last night. It was a one bottle.
Nice.
That I wasn't going to drink it, but I thought, no, I'll do some research. You planted in 2005, rather. Got 91 points in Wine Align's Guide to Canada's Best Wines 2020. We got absolutely passing grades all over the place. Tell them about the blend.
Well, it's always been a real solid wine for us in terms of, you know, it's sort of average rating with the sort of people who rate wines. And the reason it is because the two varieties that are in it, Tanat and Syrah, are pretty steady varieties for the Okanagan. It's a split of 50% Syrah, 50% Tanat. The Syrah sort of tempers the Tanat's exuberance, and the Tanat sort of adds a little something extra to your base style Syrah, and both of those varieties take oak quite well and age quite well. You know, in the Okanagan, it seems to come out very approachable.
Do you have Malbec still available?
A very small quantity of Malbec is still at the winery. Yeah.
2018, okay. I promise over the course of the year, we will go back and spend lots of time with each one of these wines. The Petit I love the fact that there is a singular Petit Verdot, because it's always used in blending. And is just gold for blending. Petit Verdot 2018, I love Petit Verdot. Now, the Tarique Nacional 2018 needs an explanation, doesn't it?
Yeah, the Tarique Nacional is a Portuguese variety. It's a great table wine variety, but the Portuguese mostly use it in port. In fact, it's considered even in Australia as the single most best port variety. And we have a large population of Portuguese in Açores, and one of the growers planted it. And to make a long story short, eventually we ended up buying that vineyard.
Is Border Vines still available?
Border Vines is not available at the winery, but that is one of our bigger production wines, and so it's a likely candidate that can probably be found at quite a few liquor stores around town at this time of year.
How about the Carmenere?
Yeah, that one doesn't really make it out of the winery much. It's pretty much...
You know why? Because it has a double gold medal in the All-Canadian Wine Championships. That's why. Somebody said, hey, look at this. I'll have to get a bottle. I just have to try it. That's all. I remember well the last taste I had of the Carmenere 2018. How about the Contraband Syrah?
That was very small production, and we are sold out of that. That bears Jason Barsh's name. It comes solely from his vineyard. Beautiful spot. I'm going to leave it at that because I talk.
You have an entire year to tell this story, Chris. I promise, an entire year. The Syrah 2018 available.
That wine is similar in nature a little bit to our Border Vines in that it's a little bit of a higher production wine, and so even though we are sold out at the wine,
you can find it.
Found it in stores and restaurants.
And the Dolcetto 2019, another wine that can be found only in a couple of spots.
Yeah, the same idea. Unfortunately, unfortunately, it's been a very busy summer in the Okanagan for many wineries, including us. So the Dolcetto is gone
Bita, you don't have to apologize for sales. You really don't. You really don't. Okay, over the course of the year, we're going to tell you about the Hideout Guest House right on site. The wine club is the way. That's the way to go, right?
The wine club, I think, for anybody who is a fan of our wines, the wine club is a really terrific way to go, mostly because, and we have two wine clubs, and for the two cases per year wine club, the first shipment comes out in the spring, shortly after the wines are bottled and released, which is really fantastic because that gives the club members the opportunity to taste the wines right out of the gate and while we still have stock available. Because the way that our season usually turns out is that we make a lot of fairly small production wines, between 200 and 300 cases. And with the Osoyoz summers being as busy as they have been lately, the wines vanish pretty quickly. And so if somebody joins the wine club, then they pretty much are given the first opportunity to taste the new wines and also to decide what they'd like to buy.
Gift cards. Can they get gift cards?
Yes. Always have gift cards any time, and people can definitely buy the gift cards. Or sometimes we've had customers who opt to give a wine club membership as a gift.
Okay, here's the important thing. How do they get a hold of you? I know that on the website there's a phone number. Would you rather be dealing with emails as well?
Yeah, either one will work. We find that a lot of our customers do like to email us. So barbara@mooncursor.com would be...
Okay.
Would be a great email, or the phone number 250-495-5161. Contact us form on the website also works very well. So three different ways to get a hold of us.
And the newsletter, sign up for the newsletter, you guys. Here's the thing, you can find a Moon Cursor if you find it on the shelves, let's put it that way. You might want to think about just trusting in us and have at it. Just pick up one of those bottles and try, because it's a large portfolio. It's Moon Cursor, my friends, in Osoyoz, the Osoyoz Bench. They're always with us, but they're with us as a sponsor this year, and we can't thank them enough. So we'll tell you their story, and all of these wines, we'll blab about them as well over the course of the year. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much,
Terry. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. The Moon Cursor name pays tribute to the gold smuggling history of Osoyoz. The winery's focus has always been making premium wines from old world grape varieties like Tanat, Dolcetto, and Torrija Nacional. And for all of that hard work and dedication, Moon Cursor was recognized as the number one best performing small winery at the 2019 Wine Align National Wine Awards of Canada. Not only do they have a great wine club, but also think about giving a wine club membership as a great Christmas gift. You can find all of the details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery, the picturesque 50-acre estate winery in the beautiful Cowichan Valley with a microclimate that allows them to grow 7 different varietals, ranging from fruity whites to full-bodied reds. And speaking of reds, they are now introducing their Red Friday Mix and Match case lot sale for all of their red wines. It makes an amazing gift for the holidays. That offer is on the table until Christmas Eve. Enrico Winery, just 45 minutes north of Victoria in the Cowichan Valley. And to really get connected, sign up for their newsletter. Just head for their website, EnricoWinery.com. My name is Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. And we come to yet another friend of the show, Enrico Winery in Cobble Hill. Yeah, I was going to say Cobble Hill. Cobble Hill. Lauren Inglis is the manager. I'm sure he does other things for certain. Telegraph Road, Mill Bay.
Yeah.
I've never seen a sign that says Mill Bay, wine capital of Vancouver Island. So
there should be one. right out in front of Enrico Winery, there should be a big sign that says that.
Hey, Lauren, you were on a mission today. You were dropping off a wine, not only to me, but to customers and fans of Enrico. Tell me about what's going on with the wine business in the middle of this pandemic. Are you saying that people want cases of wine delivered to their door?
Cases of wine are flying out of our doors to their doors regularly right now. The online sales have gone just absolutely through the roof, which is excellent. A lot of people that are hunkering in and not going out and respecting all of Bonnie Henry's wishes, we become the delivery people for all that. And so the online orders have been fantastic. So we're offering free shipping on any order over $100 in British Columbia.
Did that catch you by surprise? It sure did me.
Yeah, soon as the COVID really sort of sat and got perched in tight, and the fear of the public and everything that was going on with the COVID, we saw the sales absolutely skyrocket. You know, a lot of the liquor stores who normally would be purchasing maybe, you know, 5 or 6 cases at a time, all of a sudden were ordering 10 and 15 cases at a time. Our online sales, where traditionally we would be doing maybe 3 or 4 cases a day on online sales, now we're up to 15 to 20 cases a day on online sales. And those are being shipped right clear across Canada. So the response on that program has been absolutely fantastic.
Okay, without going crazy, tell me about the reputation of Vancouver Island wines up until this point, up until 2020.
Well, you know, we've talked about this many times in the past, but I think, you know, there's been an enlightenment on the wines in British Columbia, or in Vancouver Island specifically. I think people are starting to understand that, you know, we can grow fantastic grapes on the island. We've got some unbelievable winemakers on Vancouver Island. And I think the combination of those things, we're actually putting out an absolutely fantastic product. And I think that the public perception of that has increased dramatically. Where before, you know, people would say, oh, I'll never drink a wine off Vancouver Island. That has changed. And seeing the amount of wines from all of the wineries on the island that are being shipped across Canada is absolutely fantastic. So there has been a really good positive response on all the wines from Vancouver Island.
There was a time, actually there still is an element on Vancouver Island about the, because there's some 50 wineries and growers on Vancouver Island and the Gulf Islands, friends. There was a time when there were people at the winery saying, I don't have to sell to Vancouver. I don't care about Alberta. I've got people beating down the door locally. We can sell everything that we grow right here within a 50-kilometer radius. Simple as that. And that's okay. That's great. Fine. Be a hero in your home backyard. But how about if you want to get poured in Vancouver or Calgary or Edmonton, all the way to Montreal, for example?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, when the tasting room was open pre-COVID, we'd have visitors from literally all over the world come in on a regular basis, and a lot of Canadians from out east come in through here to enjoy, you know, everything that Cowichan Valley has to offer, which is a lot. And once they tasted the wines here, I think a lot of people were pleasantly shocked by what they were tasting. And that creates a huge customer base. And because of that customer base, that enables us to ship the products back to them when they get home.
Yep.
And again, you know, they'll purchase when they're here, and then when they get home, they always purchase more. But, you know, like I said, the perception of the island wines is just, it's incredible where we're at now as compared to where we were 5 years ago. And hold on, because you wait to see what's going to happen in the next 5 years.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Nobody can tell me what the future holds. Nobody. Nobody's that good. But we're going to find out. Enrico Winery. Lauren Inglis is the manager. They are in Mill Bay, wine capital of Vancouver Island.
Okay. I love hearing that.
There's going to be some people getting on the phone. Here's the thing. What should we know about the brief history of Enrico? Where did it? How did it get it started?
Well, Harry Smith started it. He bought the property back in the late 90s and had a vision to always turn the property into a winery. We have 54 acres nestled right in the middle of beautiful Cowichan Valley in Mill Bay. And the transition slowly began from cutting trees down to doing soil prep and all the things that we have to do in order to get the vines prepared to go into the ground. Drainage, irrigation, like I said, fencing. So we started planting in 2003, 2004, a little bit into 2005. So we planted the first 11 acres and we had our first harvest come out of the winery in 2009. That was our first year of production of wine. That was also the year that we opened up the winery. But since then, we have more than doubled the vineyard size. And right now we're sitting at somewhere between 23 and 24 acres of planted grapes with eight different varietals.
Of those eight varietals, if you were pressed into a corner and I put a finger in your chest and said, which one is going to lead you into the future, what would that varietal be?
Oh, that's going to be an argumentative point. I mean, in the whites, it'll probably be the Ortega for the white, just because the Ortega grows so well in our climate.
Amazing, right?
And for the reds, it's going to be a combination. I mean, the Blattners for us have done very, very well, the hybrid series of grapes. And, of course, the Pinot Noir is always a good versatile grape for us as well. We do, you know, 3 to 4 different wines with the Pinot Noir. But I'm a big believer in the hybrid grapes. I'll tell you, they're designed specifically for our climate. They're disease-free. They're always the last ones to come off. They grow so well in our climate because, like I said, they're specifically designed to grow in our cool climate.
How excited are you? First of all, you made your deliveries today, and people welcome you with open arms. Obviously, stick around. I tasted through the box that you left here, and I'm prepared to talk about it, and then I want to stop talking to you, and I want to taste the rest of them. I mean, I want to taste everything. And I was thrilled to see a bubble in there. Is that Pinot Gris?
Yes.
Wow.
So the Pinot Gris 2018, probably, in my opinion, it was the best Pinot Gris that we ever produced off of out of Enrico Winery. And I was bragging, saying that it was probably one of the best Pinots that had come off the island. So I entered it into the BOV, the Best Varietal, for the BCLG Awards, the British Columbia Lieutenant Governor's Awards. And the Pinot Gris actually won a gold medal in that competition, which we were super excited about. We actually put 4 wines in this year, and we walked away with 4 medals. So we won 1 gold, 2 silvers, and a bronze.
Now, I'm going to go through these if it's okay with you. The 2 whites that really got my attention were the Enrico Coronet, the Reserve Petit Merlot, 2017. It's had 3 years of bottle aging. It makes all the difference in the world. It's a fantastic bottle of wine.
Yeah, we're super happy with the Coronet. And that's won multiple medals all the way down to Canabeach, Oregon, and everywhere, all the way back east. You're right. Once we oak one of our whites, bottle aging definitely is going to benefit it. Beautiful lemon-lime characteristics. I pick up a little bit of honeydew on there as well. But it's just, I love that wine all the way around. It was a staff favorite this summer, as a matter of fact.
And for those people out there who think they have tasted all of the Pinot Gris in British Columbia, or in Canada for that matter, the Enrico Winery Shining Armor Pinot Gris from 2018.
Yeah, again, a couple little tricks on that one this year, or in 2018, we did approximately 6,000 liters of it. And within that 6,000 liters, we added 2 barrels, or about 450 liters of French oak fermentation. Pinot Gris into the blend. And I think it just bumped it up. And 2018 was an exceptionally good year. Typically on the island in our Pinots, we pull a lot of apple flavors. And in 2018, with the sustained heat that we had, and we had a long period, 45, 48 days of virtually the same temperature all the way through, a lot of the apple flavors diminished a little bit, and we picked up a little bit more, a little bit more of the pear notes. And I'm absolutely ecstatic the way the 18 turned out.
Lauren Inglis, the manager of the Enrico Winery in Mill Bay, the Reds. Can we talk about the Pinot Noir? I've been to the Pinot Noir celebration in the Okanagan 3 years running, and I'm always amazed at how different Pinot tastes from one vineyard to another. But yours, what's going on in Mill Bay?
Yeah, you know, again, our little microclimate makes all the difference in the world. The Pinot Noir, you know, it's such a versatile grape. It grows so well in our specific climate as well. That particular clone does. The dark fruit flavors that we're going to pick up on, and a little tiny bit of pepper on there. It's a really nice, the cherry notes. It's just a nice, nice glass of red wine, that one.
Longsword, Cabernet Foch.
So another one of Valentin Blattner's hybrid grape, Maréchal Foch and Cab Sav hybrid. Again, cool climate, full bodied, you know, it's got a really nice blackberry note on there. It's got a little bit of unsmoked pipe tobacco in there.
Tell me about the wine fan coming through the front door. I know that you see locals. We know that. That's established.
Yeah, people coming in right now is obviously because of what's been going on. It's slowed down dramatically. And, you know, I'll tell you a really interesting story. I was dealing with one of the people over in Seattle Tourism, and the number one thing to do when you came to Vancouver Island used to be doing the Parliament buildings and going to the Empress and Butcher Gardens. Last year, the number one thing to do when you came to Vancouver Island was to do a Couch and Valley wine tour. So that gives you a bit of an idea what's going on, you know, in general in the valley with the wineries. And to have that much response from the people from Seattle and Washington and Oregon coming over, it's just fantastic to see that.
Is there a wine club we should tell people about?
Brand new wine club. So Knights of the Round Table. Best thing to do is to go to our website, Enrico Winery, and everything's there. It's a great setup, the way the new wine club works. There's monthly newsletters that are to be being sent out as well to club members, so they know of all the specials that are coming up as well. But check out the website or the Facebook page, and it tells you most everything you need to know.
Lauren Inglis is the manager, Enrico Winery, Telegraph Road, Mill Bay. He is one of the four segment sponsors of this year of Tasting Room Radio. If you're going to talk about somebody for a year, you'd either better like them as people or you'd better admire them as a business. We like both about you. And that's why we're pleased to have you with us. Thank you for doing that.
Well, we're happy to be with you.
Thank you for the taste. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery, the picturesque 50-acre estate winery in the beautiful Cowichan Valley, with a microclimate that allows them to grow seven different varietals, ranging from fruity whites to full-bodied reds. And speaking of reds, they are now introducing their Red Friday Mix and Match case lot sale for all of their red wines. It makes an amazing gift for the holidays. That offer is on the table until Christmas Eve. Enrico Winery, just 45 minutes north of Victoria in the Cowichan Valley. And to really get connected, sign up for their newsletter. Just head for their website, EnricoWinery.com.